Hello, everyone. This is your old chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly, presenting America's Famous Quiz Kids. Well, we not only have an interesting lineup of questions, but we also have the head coach of the All-Star football game in our classroom, and a little later we hope to get some tips about the big All-Star game next Friday evening. So, let's get busy, quiz kids. Here's your first question. What key of music might suggest a person too young to vote? And while you and our listeners are thinking about that one, we'll have roll call. Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a junior at Roosevelt High School.
Patrick.
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 13 years old, and in the fall I'll be a freshman at Calumet High School in Chicago.
Frankie.
I'm Frankie Vanaplug. I'm 6 years old, and I'm at 1B at the Mount Vernon School, Chicago, Illinois.
Harvey.
I'm Harvey Deitch. I'm 7 years old. I go to Edinburgh School, and I'm in grade 3B.
And Lonnie.
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 14 years old, and in the fall I'll be a sophomore at Maine Township High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Well, now, there's a roll call. That's our panel. Incidentally, I want to tell you folks out there that as of last week, Lonnie became an uncle. Now, Lonnie, would you bring us up to date on that?
Well, what do you mean, bring you up to date?
Well, how are things coming along?
Well, just fine.
Huh?
Just fine.
He or she?
It's a he.
He? What's his name?
Gary Thomas Johnson.
Uh-huh. He hasn't called you Uncle Lonnie yet.
No, not yet.
Well, that's fine. Now back to the first question. What key of music might suggest a person too young to vote? Pat?
Well, that might be a minor key.
A minor key. That's right. A minor. Good boy, Patty. Well, we're off to a flying start. Now, right at this moment, each of you will receive paper and pencil, kids, and you'll be asked to use your own initials and make up advertising slogans or headlines using words that begin with each initial. I'll call for them later on in the program. Let's see now. Our producer's initials, Herb W. Latow. Let's see, H.W.L. We could use his initials by saying Herbie Weds Lizzie. See? Or now my initials, Joseph William Kelly, J.W.K., Just Wonderful Ketchup. Oh, you funny man. Well, all right, you get along there. And remember, you have to make these up from your own initials as you go along and answer questions. And I'll call for them, as I said, a little bit later on. In the meantime, since we have an all-man board today, you quiz kids may not like this question. It's about insects whose male species might be considered the weaker sex. Now, why might the male bee and mosquito be considered weaker than his mate? Harvey?
Well, because the female mosquito and the female bee both sting, but the male mosquito and the male bee don't sting.
That's absolutely right, Harvey. Yes, sir, for 7 years old. Now, folks, Harvey really knows these mosquitoes. And I might add, Harvey, that there must be a lot of female mosquitoes around this summer. Here's the second part. On the other hand, it is only the male katydid and the shorthorn grasshopper who are musical. Can you explain how each of these perform when he wishes to play a little serenade? Harvey, again.
Well, the katydid rubs his left wing on his right wing, and that's how he makes a sound. The shorthorn grasshopper rubs both hind legs together. Other times, he rubs one hind leg and the wing together.
That's right, and he certainly serenades, doesn't he? Now, let's see. Number three is a dandy question. The following are groups of characters from well-known stories, but there is one important character missing from each group. See if you kids can name the one who is absent. Here's the first group. Moth, cobweb, mustard seed. Frankie.
Peas blossom from Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare.
That a boy! Yes, sir, you're right! Oh, boy. Now, see if we can get this next one. Here's the next group. Meanie, Miney, and Miney Moe. Frankie?
Had a Peck of Pie from the Rutabaga Stories by Carl Sandburg.
Well, now, how do you like that? What do you know about that? Right, right in both cases. You know, kids, since certain classes of our naval vessels are named for states, cities, and birds, Which type of vessel would each of these following songs suggest? Now try to get two out of three. Here's the first one. Lonnie.
That's Iowa, and that's a state, so that'd be a battleship.
That's right. And now then, Uncle Lou Webb is going to play number two for us. Patrick?
Well, that's only a bird in a gilded cage.
So?
Let's see.
Bird. That's the clue. What type of vessel? Joe?
I believe a submarine.
Oh, no. No. Pat?
Well, it might be an aircraft carrier. It's kind of corny, but...
Lonnie?
I'm not sure, but I'm quite sure it's a cruiser.
No, no. You're wrong on this. It's a minesweeper. Minesweeper. Now, here's the last one. Lonnie?
Well, the song is Sioux City Sioux. That would be a city.
Yes.
I'd say, I believe destroyers are named for cities.
Well, now, wait a minute. Pat had
I think it's a cruiser, isn't
cruiser,
it?
Cruiser, that's right. Both light and heavy cruisers are named for cities. Well, we only asked for two out of three, and you gave me two out of three. Now then, kids, if a fortune teller, instead of reading tea leaves, told her fortunes by piecing together the letters in chemical symbols, what would she see in your future in these instances? First, she has vanadium, oxygen, yttrium, argon, and germanium. Pat.
Well, let's see. Vanadium is VA. We'll skip that for a second then. What's the next one?
Let's see. The next one was oxygen.
Well, that's O.
O.
And
yttrium.
Yttrium is IT.
Is what? No.
I am then.
That's V is vanadium.
Yes.
And then O is oxygen.
Right.
And Y is yttrium.
Right.
And A is argon. And G is germanium.
That's
so
right.
It's a voyage.
Voyage. That's right. You would be taking a voyage. Now, the next reading is molybdenum, neon, and yttrium. Pat.
Well, of course, that's money.
Well, right,
molybdenum
now.
Is M-O.
M-O.
And neon is N-E.
N-E.
And, of course, yttrium is Y.
That's right, money. Seems like we should have had the money before the voyage.
Yeah.
Here's the third part. This reading was tungsten, iodine, and iron. Lonnie.
Well, let's see. I'm not sure of tungsten, but iodine is I.
Right.
And iron is F-E, so
F-E.
That's I-F-E. I believe tungsten is W.
Oh,
it's
you believe
wife.
It is. That's just what it is. So it would be wife, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. Very good, kid. Well, now, you kids just have a few more weeks of vacation left, but what do you think about that? Would you like to have your vacation last longer, or... are you anxious to get back to school? Patrick?
Well, everybody, when they get out of school in June, they all feel, boy, they never want to come back. And, of course, I know lots of my friends, they feel when it gets toward the end of vacation that they'd like to be back in school. And, of course, I'm going into high school this fall, and it's going to be a new experience, and I'm kind of anxious, you know.
You're anxious to get back to school. Well, good for you, Patrick. Harvey?
Well, oh, I don't think so. I have a lot of fun. I'm going fishing, swimming, and I'll get a lot of exercise and horseback riding.
Oh? Have you really fished very much this summer?
Not too much, because there isn't very good fishing. Not too good.
Oh? Didn't you catch any fish at all?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
You did? What kind?
Let's see, I caught one crappie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One.
And let's see, there's a... Yeah, I think the only fish I caught out there this summer was crappie and
a what?
Well, yeah,
one crappie and a...
A little crappie and...
Yeah, a little crappie. Oh, one little crappie.
Pretty, yeah.
Well, all right. Well, that's beside the point. I'm glad you caught one anyway. Lonnie?
There's another one.
Well, I'm not particularly anxious for school to begin, but, I mean, school has its points, too.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it the way it is. If anything, though, I'd like the vacation length, and I certainly wouldn't want it cut anymore.
Oh, you wouldn't, huh? Uh-huh. All right, Joel?
Well, very few kids I know are anxious to get back to school, and I'm no exception. I don't think I'd want the vacation lengthened because there's too much of a good thing, but it's just about right the way it is now.
You're happy about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, let's see. Frankie started the school last year. Isn't that right, Frankie?
Yeah.
Well, what is your opinion? Let's have a man-to-man talk from you now on this.
Oh, I think that I would like to get back to school because I'm very anxious to get to first grade because my mommy wants to teach me how to write, and I don't want to. I want to go to first grade and learn how to write, so I'm anxious to get to first grade.
Well, now, isn't that nice? Well, now, Frankie, it just so happens on that assignment that I gave you kids a while ago, I forgot that you hadn't taken writing yet. And if you have any trouble, why, maybe some of us can sort of help you out with your initials when we call for the assignment a little bit later on. All right. Now, then, I'm going to test your sense of musical pitch with this question. I'm going to tell a story which has blanks in it. Every time I come to a blank, I shall play a chord on the piano, and from the notes you hear struck all together in the chord, you are to spell a word that might fit in the blank. Now, first, let me get over here to the piano. Here I am. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Well, forget that one. That doesn't count. I was just sort of checking over the keyboard here. Now, let's see. Harvey and Frankie went to the store to buy some candy, and they wanted candy bars. But when they counted their money, they said, we will have to get stick candy. We might as well... Now, wait just a minute. Here's where the blank comes in. We might as well... It.
Funny? F-A-C-E, face it.
That's right, that's a boy. Well, now, the boys were so alert, the clerk was surprised at their... Lonnie?
That's A-G-E, age.
Age, right again. Well... Now, on this last one, Uncle Lou Webb is going to help me out. He's going to join in on this at the organ while I'm at the piano here. And we're really going to throw a flock of notes all at once your way. This is going to be very difficult. So, Uncle Lou, now when I'm ready to press down on my notes, I'll count three, and then we'll all go together, see? So, here is the end of our story. Harvey and Frankie took the long way home, and when they got there, they were... Oh, wait just a minute now. I forgot to count three. Well, that's all right. Out is the last word, period. Lonnie?
Well, the notes the organist played were G, E, G, D, but I didn't hear yours at the same time, so...
You didn't? Well, now, wait a minute. Let's give it to him again, Lou. All right, now, are you all set? All right. How about that again? Well, wait a minute. Now, Pat's got his hand up. Pat?
Well, not much at getting pitches, but I can figure out that might be fagged out. F-A-G-G-E-D.
Oh, you're right. That's right. F-A-G-G-E-D. Right now, while everyone is talking baseball, it may seem a little previous to think in terms of football, but we have a chance to get in on the ground floor of how that big all-star football game will come off here August 11th at Soldiers Field here in Chicago. And I know you quiz kids and all of our listeners wouldn't want to pass up an opportunity like that. In fact, I have a big treat for you, because visiting our classroom, we have the very prominent figure of the sports world, the coach of Holy Cross and head coach for the All-Star football game, and an all-around grand football man himself, Dr. Eddie Anderson.
Thanks, Joe. I wouldn't miss this for anything, and I'm really getting a kick out of meeting you and these amazing quiz kids. The last time I saw them on television, I was in Boston, but I've heard them many times over radio, and I'm certainly enjoying myself here this afternoon.
Well, good for you. Thanks a lot. It's nice of you to drop into our classroom, Eddie, when I know that you're very busy these days getting ready for the big All-Star game next Friday evening. Now, first of all, I know many of our listeners are interested in knowing just how the boys are picked for the All-Star game.
Well, I have quite a little bit to do with that, Joe, along with the other coaches. We get recommendations from all the coaches all over the country, newspaper men, and with the assistance of Mr. Arch Ward and Wilford Smith, the Chicago Tribune, why the coaches pick them.
I see. Well, tell us this, Eddie. How are the coaches picked?
Well, I think I'd have to say that Mr. Ward and his staff picks the coaches, Joe. A number of years ago, they were voted upon, but they quit that, I believe, in 1942.
Uh-huh. Well, now there's one more question I'd like to ask, if you don't mind. You may know that the quiz kids are chosen because of their personality, their good sportsmanship, as well as their mental alertness. I understand great football players are superior students. It so happens that I know that the late Niall Kinnick was a Phi Beta Kappa. How about that?
You're perfectly right, Joe. As a matter of fact, Niall was a student of mine. He played for Iowa University when I was coach there. And I think you're also right in saying that superior football players are usually superior students. There are many shining examples of that. For instance, President Hovde of Purdue University played quarterback for Minnesota about 20 years ago.
I see.
And I think there are so many examples that we couldn't go into it this afternoon.
Take too much time, maybe, huh?
Right.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, now I would like to see. I'd like to for you to ask the quiz kids a question or two about some of the boys we'll see play next Friday evening. Would you like to take over the classroom?
I certainly would. I'd enjoy seeing how fast the quiz kids can identify the school and position played by each of these men in training now for the All-Star football game.
Excuse me just a minute, Coach Anderson. Do you want to step around on this side of the microphone so you can see the kids' hands go up?
Fine, that's a lot better.
Fine.
The first one I'd like to find out what school he's from and position he plays is Leon Hart. Lonnie?
Well, and Notre Dame.
You're right.
And this fall he'll be with the Detroit Lions.
Second, Dick Kempthorne. Pat?
Well, I think he was a fullback for Michigan.
Right you are. Third, now this might stick you, Eddie LeBaron. Joe?
Quarterback, College Pacific.
Right. Number four, Doak Walker. Lonnie?
Well, halfback, Southern Methodist.
Right again. Now this one may not be quite fair, but I thought I'd not tell you the name of the player, but I'd describe him a little bit. He runs up the field like a locomotive. Joe?
Charlie Justice, halfback, North Carolina.
Right again. Now, this question also may not be quite fair because it requires a knowledge of All-Star games of other years. But let's try it anyway. In what years did the All-Stars score a victory with exactly the same score? Lonnie?
1946 and 47. I believe the score was 16-0 over the Rams and the Bears.
You're absolutely right. Can you tell me which year, Lonnie?
Well, they beat the Rams in 46 and the Bears in 47.
That's perfect, Joe.
Well, that makes me very happy. I think the quiz kids really carried the ball and scored all right on that one.
They certainly did. They seem to be sports fans all right.
I thought, Coach Anderson, if you didn't mind, maybe the quiz kids would have a question or two they might like to ask you about the game Friday.
Well, that's all right with me, Joe. I hope they don't put me on the spot too much.
Who would like to start it off?
Well, Dr. Anderson, I'd like to know if it was your childhood ambition to be a football player or coach as you are now.
Well, no, I started out to be a doctor, Pat, an M.D., but after I got my degree, I happened to get into coaching. Mm-hmm. I've been there ever since. Harvey?
What's the difference between professional players and college players?
Well, the difference is between in professional football, they're paid, Harvey, and college players are amateurs. Bonnie?
Well, I'd like to know what you consider your greatest day in football.
Well, I suppose Lonnie was 1939 and 40. Had two great days when we beat Notre Dame. I was coaching the University of Iowa at that time, and they were undefeated both years when we played them. Joe?
Well, this isn't about the game Friday, But in your opinion, in the last few years, has the use of the T formation increased or decreased?
I think it has increased a great deal, Joe. Frankie?
Mr. Anderson, do you know how old a little boy should be when he starts playing football?
Well, Frankie, I think that almost any age, I think you could get an undersized football and start right now, and you look like you'd be a good one, too.
Well, that was very, very interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Eddie Anderson. We'll see you and your all-stars on the field next Friday evening, and we wish you the very best of luck in the world. Well, let's see what's next. Here's a dandy. What countries or islands might you find on your dinner table, kids? Frankie.
Well, at Thanksgiving, you have a lot of turkey, and there's turkey, and that's in Asia, and you might find that on the map.
Yes, you might at that.
Then there's Greece, and there might be Greece.
Greece? Oh, yes.
And then there's the Hawaiian Islands. They used to be called the Sandwich Islands, and you might find a sandwich on the table.
Well, what do you know about that?
Now, 6 years old. Do you, can you think of any others, Frankie?
Well, you might find China on the table.
Oh, you most certainly would. That's cute. Pat?
Well, this is kind of far-fetched, but if you didn't have anything on the table, you'd be hungry.
Oh, now, Patrick, please. Well, that's all right, too. Pat, Lonnie?
Well, you might have some green vegetables. That'd be Greenland.
Oh, my goodness, Pat. Joel?
Well, you'd certainly have air.
You what?
You'd certainly have air.
Yes, you would. Oh. Well, and Harvey, did you think of one?
Yeah.
What?
Well, we might have chili on the table.
Chili, that's right. Yeah, we might have chili in August, too. Oh, that's what we've been having. Well, now let's call for the assignment that I gave you earlier in the program. You quiz kids were to make up advertising slogans or headlines using the three initials of your names. And you had to work on this at the same time you've been answering questions. Let's see what you've done. Who would like to start this assignment business off? Lonnie?
Well, mine aren't too good, and I don't have too many, but
well,
here they
are. Well, all right. Let's hear them.
Lies, claims Laura. Lexington Caves looted. And as for an advertising slogan, Louis canned lobsters.
That's all right. That's very good, Lonnie. That's the idea, all right. Joel, how did you figure out?
Well, my initials are a bit ill-assorted, so I didn't have much of a chance. And, let's see. I have three.
What are your initials, Joel?
JJK.
JJK. All right, let's hear what
Jingle Jackpot Captured with a K instead of a C.
Oh.
Jim Jones Killed. Let's see. Jones Joins Kin.
Well, that's all right, too, Joel. Now, let's see. Harvey, what'd you make up?
I couldn't get anything out. I only got a sentence, and that is, and I don't know, some foreign-like language.
Well, now, what are your initials, by the way?
Huh?
What are your initials?
H-E-D.
H-E-D. So what did you think up?
Well, I didn't think of any advertising or anything, or any headlines like that. Just a sentence. And even that's in a foreign language, like.
Oh, it is? Well, let's hear it. Foreign
How
language.
How is this?
Oh, you know what, Harvey?
What?
I think this is good. Patrick?
Well, one for Harvey I was thinking of. Oh? Might be Harvey Eats Dinner, or... And mine, I have Our Package Coffee.
Let's see. Your initials are...
P-O-C.
P-O-C.
Our Package Coffee, Our Potatoes Colossal, Pounds of Candy, and Pat Out Calling.
All right, Pat. Well, now let's see. How about you, Frankie? Did you think... What are your initials, by the way?
Well, my initials are...
F?
FPV.
FPV.
And what? I haven't got any headlines or stuff like that. I just got my initials, because that's all I know since I haven't started reading and writing and arithmetic.
Yeah.
All right. That's very good, Frankie. Now, how about the rest of you kids? Can we help Frankie out here? Joel?
Flavors, parade, vanilla.
Well, say, that's all right. That takes care of Frankie very, very well. Well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Now, say, here's a rather tongue-twister of a math problem I'd like you quiz kids to try to work without paper or pencil. Here it is. The number of members of Edward Anderson's family is two more than the number in the family of his cousin Fred Anderson. The square of the number in Fred's family is one less than twice the number in Edward's family. How many are there in each family? Now, there is a doozer. Joel.
Can you please repeat that?
Well, all right, I will. The number of members of Edward Anderson's family is two more than the number in the family of his cousin Fred Anderson. The square of the number in Fred's family is one less than twice the number in Edward's family. How many are there in each family? Joel?
Well, you can form an equation there. X squared equals 2X plus 3, because you have letting X equal his cousin's family,
well,
then that squared is X squared equals twice X plus 2, or 2X plus 4 equals 2X plus 3.
Family
so X squared minus 2X minus 3 equals 0. So, let's see, it'll be X minus 3 and X plus 1. So you can toss out the latter one.
Oh, sure.
So,
toss it right out.
It'll be 3 and 5.
Three
in his cousin's family and five in his family.
Three in whose family?
In his cousin's family and five in his family.
That's very good. That's right, Joel. That's fine. It's really working out, isn't it? Yeah. By the way, kids, real quick now, what is the family name? Real quick. Pat.
Anderson.
Anderson, that's right. I thought I'd try and catch you off guard. I wonder if they're related to Dr. Eddie Anderson, who was on our program this afternoon. Now then, let's see. There's the bell, kids, and that means the end of class for today. And while we're waiting for the report cards, I want to tell you about next week's program. I'm all really excited about it because we're trying something we've never tried before. A board of quiz kids will compete with five representatives from the first United States International Trade Fair. Each of the adults to compete with the quiz kids is from a different country. In fact, we may have to have an interpreter present to help us out now and then. So be on hand, folks. This promises to be an impressive session with plenty of hilarity on the side. Now, let's see. Let's check over the scores here. Here are your grades, and we'll find out who wins today. Remember, whether you win or lose, you will each receive a $100 savings bond for your future education. Let's see. Now, as a group, you didn't miss any questions, and after taking into consideration your age as well as the number of questions you answered correctly, the final report is Lonnie was first, Frankie second, Joe, Pat, and Harvey tied for third. Well, now, how do you like that? So all five of you will be here next Sunday to enter our international competition, and we'll expect all of you listeners to be with us again, too. So until next Sunday, then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids. Goodbye, kids.
Bye, Mr. Kelly.
Quiz Kids is produced by Lewis G. Cowan. Programs, get your programs here. There's fun and excitement when Jack Parr asks the $64 questions on NBC tonight on Take It or Leave It. And there's a race between contestants to come up with the right answer first to the jackpot question. Then there's music with the thrilling voice of Kay Armin and the chorus under the direction of Emil Cote on the Pep Milk Show. Enjoy yourself. Stay tuned for three good mysteries, beginning with Cloak and Dagger on NBC. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.